Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we're getting ready for our big birthday party tomorrow at Lit Cigar Lounge. Alex Rich is with us in the studio on this Wednesday. You have been out there to Lit Cigar Lounge. Describe what we'll be experiencing tomorrow,
Alex. Oh, it's
Alex.
A great place, great atmosphere, you know. And even if you're not a big cigar smoker, you
Sue
go
is.
In.
Sue is. I don't know if you knew that. She
are
loves
you?
Them.
Are you going to have one of them?
She loves cigars.
No.
I think maybe we try to push this.
That's not
going to
happen.
Bit. No, it's a great environment. There's going to be the Napoli brothers are going to have some food on site there. They're going to be making fresh pasta
Ooh,
in front of you there.
Oh, nice.
So I believe the VIP tickets are sold out.
They are.
But
they are.
You could buy the... You can purchase food there on site, and it's going to be a great time, great to hang out, watch live sports, whatever else is on. I mean, it's a cool atmosphere. Honestly, it's kind of a man cave, but, like, the ladies are welcome. You know, you don't feel...
So generous.
It's very generous,
you don't
yeah.
feel... Yeah, well, you know.
I gotcha. So
we don't have to cancel your appearance
We don't
tomorrow.
Have to cancel your appearance tomorrow.
In other
We're
words,
going to have,
women are invited.
It's a big
invited.
Boys yeah. club, but you know what? We'll take you with if,
no,
if
it's
we...
cool.
Yeah, Brian Snyder from Lit Cigar will be joining
yeah.
us.
Yeah, Brian's awesome. And what they're doing over there at Lit is, it's unique because you think of like a cigar lounge as like this. Now, it is like an intimate kind of place, but you think of this place that you walk in is just like filled with smoke everywhere. And like the ventilation's
yeah,
great
yeah, yeah.
in there.
Oh, okay.
And it's a vibe, I think is the best way I'd describe it. They got poker tables there if that's your thing. If that's not
really?
Your thing, oh yeah,
oh that is my thing.
The
that,
games,
that's a vibe.
The games get going. I think there's groups that meet up there, you know, weekly, and yeah,
and illegally Mark, play poker for money. That's awesome.
You know,
I want that. I'm in on that.
I know. We need to get you involved.
Yes, man. I used to play Hold'em so much. I loved it. I love the game. I just kind of got away from it over the last decade. If you go back like to the early 2000s and mm-hmm. that whole period, I my wife's actually a very good Hold'em player.
People,
you guys play poker at all? So you play poker?
One time I learned how to play it. I do not know really how to do it. I didn't retain it.
Okay. Seems like there's a lot to keep track of.
Texas
you know?
Hold'em is a little different than, you know, like five-card stud or some of the things that we used to play when we were younger. I don't know why. I should know the history of that. But like when I was at Mizzou, I'd play cards with, you know, friends in the dorms and stuff like that. Fred, you a Hold'em guy, are you?
You mean the river?
Yes, you know the river card, right? There you go.
I've watched enough of it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm one of those weird people that does watch like professional poker when
Do
it's
you,
on TV.
You know, I have a couple buddies from college that joined the, you know, World Poker Tour, the World Series of Poker.
Yeah,
whatever.
Really?
And
Do
occasionally
they...
I'll see them on there, like, you
wow.
know, it's on at like insane times, right? You know, it's like
yeah.
2
yeah.
in the morning or something, and... For whatever reason, it comes on, and I'll see like a buddy from college on there, and I'll be like, "That's insane." I actually, I don't know if this is definitely not legal at the time, but I think we're past the time that I can talk about it now.
I think the statute of limitations has passed.
I remember picking up a buddy, one of these guys from the airport, and he had literally like a duffel bag full of cash that he had just won.
Was his name J.B. Pritzker?
Well, I dropped him off.
Did you hear that story?
Yeah, I did.
And see, some people are saying, you know that story, Sue?
He
made like $1.4 million in gambling winnings, blackjack winnings. And some people are, like even Dave Portnoy at Barstool is like, okay, I used to gamble, but I don't know about that number. But, you know, he's worth a
But then how much do you spend on it?
Right. The high rollers spend a lot of money. There's no doubt about that. Well, that's that'll be fun tomorrow. I think we're very much looking forward to it. By the way, on the poker front, so I started to learn how to play early 2000s, and I was playing on the computer a lot, and then I had some friends in Columbia that would hold tournaments. And when I would come visit, you know, because I was living in Wisconsin at the time, we'd play, and we're talking like $50 buy-ins, probably like $20 buy-ins for, you know, Texas Hold'em. And I taught my wife how to play, and she was somewhat interested. In fact, this was before she was my wife. So we went to a tournament in Milwaukee that I got invited to, and I think there were like 30, 35 people there. She was the only woman in the entire
place. Did she wear sunglasses like they do on the
they
show?
They all do.
It is funny when they wear hats and sunglasses. Like, if I would play Sue, I'd have my hoodie on, and I'd have my sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
No. But what I will tell you is she's the only woman in the entire tournament. And she took it down. She took all the boys down.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was her first real tournament. Like, that was the first poker tournament outside of, like, you know, playing with some friends and stuff like that and playing online. And then it was even better. We had, like, a second, you know, some people hung out and they did a second round buy-in. And I won that one. So we walked out of there with like $800 that night.
Solid day.
It was a good day. It was a really, really good day. Have you seen, we'll talk about this maybe a little bit more on Friday, or maybe not, because, well, we will. Friday's after Thursday. Is Friday still after Thursday?
Yes, it is. That's
okay,
confirmed.
I think so, yeah.
Thank you for confirming that. I was getting confused with saying something that was going to happen tomorrow. But no, Paul Hall will be with us on Friday. And he mentioned this last week. Alex, this is up your alley. I don't know if you've had a chance to check it out. The Perfect Neighbor, the documentary on Netflix.
And this takes me down another path. I'd like to admit that I, given all of the trouble that Netflix has given with the new households, update the household.
Oh, did you cancel it?
No, Mark, I had to actually buy my own Netflix subscription after all these
years. Couldn't steal it from your parents?
I couldn't.
Well,
I couldn't. But it's been coming up there, and I've wanted to watch it. I haven't had the chance to
yet. So I watched it last night, and it's pretty compelling. This was something that made a lot of noise at Sundance earlier this year, and it's you remember what we talked about last week and how this is described? It's very unique because it tells the story in this neighborhood down in Florida where there's a woman by the name of Phyllis, what's her name? Susan Lawrence. And she just hates her neighbors. There's a bunch of black kids and other kids around her house. They don't, you know, play football. They're not even on her property, but she just keeps calling the cops, Well, then something really bad happens. I won't be a spoiler.
Don't ruin it, yeah.
But the unique part of this movie isn't the story of what happened on that block outside of Ocala, Florida. It's the fact that this documentary was made pretty much 98% with dash cam and body cam.
Really?
And then there's some television interview things because this was a story. It became a national story when it happened. And they used some of the TV footage as well. But, I mean, the beginning of the film really just kind of introduces yourself to the people who live in the neighborhood and to the Susan Lawrence person who complains about everything that she can. You know, and the cops, you can see the views from the body cam that they have. And these cops repeatedly are pulled out to this neighborhood when they have far better things to do because she's complaining about the kids. There's certainly some racial elements here. But when the incident happens, it's pretty shocking. And, you know, it's certainly going to catch your attention. I didn't think it was like the mind-blowing best documentary that people may have thought it was at Sundance, because even Paul last week when he talked about it said this is going to be up for Oscar contention. It might be. And again, the structure of the documentary is very unique. I'll give it that. I liked it. I just didn't think it was like, wow, that blew me away.
Is the element of surprise greater than the one of unknown number?
No. That's the thing. Like, if I'm
what's that?
Stop, Sue.
So if
we do this every week, Sue.
That's the deal. If I compare, and this is just me, right? If I compare that documentary, but again, this documentary is about social justice issues. Mm-hmm. It's always going to get elevated when there's race involved and stuff like that. But no, I would say, and Fred's seen Unknown Number.
I did.
I would say that that's more compelling. It's okay. Certainly better if you don't know what happened. I mean, in this situation, I didn't tell you what happened, but you can kind of guess. You know, something happens, and then, you know, there's the aftermath of it. But I think there's better documentaries out there. I really do. What I liked about this one is they do tend to extend these things. Paul made this point last week. They draw them out. Like, they make them 3 or 4 episodes, and by the time you get to the last episode, you're like, okay, I didn't really need... They don't do that here.
This
they
is
basically,
one...
boom, it's like 80 minutes.
That's what we like.
You're in and out, yeah.
Because there's several I've watched, and you're like, they could eliminate the 3
a
episodes that are
right
in between. Who has this much time to watch 8 different, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. There's no doubt about it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Fred, I'm going to share this a little later this hour. I just got a very, very funny email from Ted Melfi. Remember Ted Melfi?
Yeah.
He's the director of Hidden Figures, which was a great movie.
And I loved that movie.
And Ted's got such a... He became a friend, and he's got such a great story. He, you know, grew up in the Springfield area because, this is true, although he doesn't like to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
His dad was literally in the mob. His dad was a mobster, and they relocated. And I don't know if it was like a witness protection thing or something like that.
My gosh.
But he ended up in Springfield. Whoa. And it's true, and he will acknowledge it's true, but he doesn't really talk about it.
Well, I wonder why.
Well, yeah, I know. But the email is kind of funny, and I don't think he'd be upset if I shared part of it.
Friends like say what?
What's funny is you'll get it when I read it to you, but we don't have time to do that now. Alex Rich is here. Sue's here. We have this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News, presented by U.S. Men's Medical Center.
Happy National Nut Day. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I like a peanut. I'm going to just go with that.
I'm a cashew.
Cashew.
Oh, I like a cashew. A cashew. Have you had a raw cashew with nothing on it?
Doesn't sound as delicious as the real fattening one with salt. Personally,
have you had the warm nuts at the hockey games?
I have not.
Well, it is a personal question because I've had them. I'm sure
that sounds
you've
delicious.
Had them. They are unbelievable.
Do they have those the big ones that the monkey toe? What are the real called? What do you call those
monkey
for real?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
They're huge.
Yes, they're enormous.
Oh man, they're. It'll come to
Brazil
me.
Nut?
Brazil nut.
That's it.
The Brazil nut.
Do they have that in the mix? I'm
no,
not a fan
no,
of
they
those.
Have pecans and almonds,
oh,
I believe.
Oh,
and
they
got a little cinnamon coated.
Oh, I'm in.
They are unbelievable.
Okay, that sounds great. And it's also, speaking of Dave Portnoy, was that on the air or off
the air? I said something about Dave Portnoy,
Okay. It's National Tavern Style Pizza Day. Now, if you watch him, we watch him every night do the pizza review.
Yeah, does the pizza challenge.
And
whatever,
Tavern Style is the super thin crust. It's not that far off of St. Louis, except we put on the provolone, and he doesn't care for that.
Provel.
And, well, that's true. I guess it's just Provel. I think some places mix it up and do their own St. Louis version, and he doesn't care for it. But it's National Tavern Style Pizza Day and National Make a Dog's Day. So be nice.
I feel like every day is Make a Dog's Day, right?
I know.
Our puppy just learned, this is big news, just, I think, is officially potty trained.
Oh, good.
That's huge.
I will guarantee you that within the next 24 hours, that dog will have an accident in your house. Because I've declared these victories myself. Yes. And I maybe 48 hours, but I promise you it will happen.
Okay.
You
can't really declare it until after a year because they always they fool you and then something happens. But it's not consistent bad.
But this is weird. I'm confident in it.
Mine is now, I would say he's 98%. He's there. But here's the weirdest thing. I've never had a dog like this. So he's 7 months old. He's the Siberian Husky Lab pit bull mix, very athletic. He's got a lot of energy, right? Whenever I walk him, whenever I take him out, he never pees. And he never does number two. He just, I don't know where he saves it for the backyard.
Does he pretend to go?
No.
Okay.
Like lately his thing is, I just want to run. I just want to play. I never see him. Like when yesterday I went to George Winter Park, I told you I lost him temporarily.
Yes.
Maybe that's what he was doing.
Oh, because that could be.
He never just, you know, squats and stops. He just goes.
Is he embarrassed?
He might be. He might be a little shy.
He's got
stage fright.
It's common with men.
Like he can't go in the urinal next to the other dogs. Yeah. He's got to go, okay, could be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is weird. I've never had a dog like that. Usually the first thing the dog does, you take him outside, they pee.
Yeah, that's weird.
He don't do that.
Well, my Frenchie goes, he goes at least 10 different times and pretends to go where he's like marking his territory where it's like, dude, enough.
That's what Olaf does too.
Yeah, it's like, dude, come on. You're not even going.
Yep.
You're just doing this for show.
Luna does that too.
Yeah.
Right.
9 or 10 times on a walk. It's like, come on.
I'm like, no, we're not peeing on everything. We've got to go home. Mm-hmm.
I have the opposite. I don't get it. I really don't
get it. I wonder if that'll change because that's not helpful.
It seems weird to me.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, he can hold, again, like, he'd be, if I go home right now, he's been in the crate since 1 o'clock. I'd let him outside. I'm sometimes he just turns around and looks at me through the door. Like, I want to come back inside. I whatever. As long as he's not going on the floor, I don't care.
You do you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you tell him. And on this day in history, we've got a little music. 59 years ago in 1966, the Beach Boys hit the charts with this one.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Not a number one. Just hit the charts, is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, the single right here, Good Vibrations, took 6 months to record. And it was the most expensive song ever produced up to that time. It cost $500,000 to make.
Why?
I guess time and recording studio.
No, because Brian Wilson was so weird and he wanted everything to be perfect.
That's exactly right. It wasn't $500,000. I'm off by a zero. $50,000.
Okay.
It was 1966
but still,
after all. Yeah.
You know, this song is interesting to me because you're not going to believe this. When I used to bat, when I would go up to the plate and bat in high school, college, whatever it would be, I would always think of a song that would kind of calm you down. You don't think about the pitch coming. Like for me, it was like, think about a song, sing the song over and over and
really?
Over again. This was the song that for whatever reason, for years, every single at bat, I would sing Good Vibrations in my head while the pitch was coming.
Have you ever thought to yourself, maybe I should have picked another song and then I'd be in Major League Baseball like my the guy I backed up, Kyle Schwarber, hitting 35 home runs a year?
Maybe
Kyle had a different song and it was a better song.
It probably was, more than likely.
This is an expensive song.
It was an expensive. I have expensive taste.
But that is interesting. Now, seriously, is that something athletes do?
I think just whatever. I mean, I'm also a music person.
Right.
So for me, it was like music was calming. And, you know, when a pitch is coming at 90-something miles per hour, you've got to calm yourself down and relax a little bit and find what gets you in the zone, I guess.
That's interesting.
It could have been your walk-up song.
No, my walk-up song was Up in Here by DMX. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here.
Yeah, that fits.
Or
sadly.
Rich Girl, because I am a rich girl myself.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good one. Good.
Yeah.
Did you guys have walk-up songs? You did?
Oh, yeah.
In Indiana?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the atmosphere, isn't it?
Totally.
It's all pumped up. All right, and then 56 years ago today, it was in 1969 when Led Zeppelin II was released. And, of course, that featured this monster jam.
Monster jam. I just love
monster jam.
I just love hearing Sue say monster jam.
A whole lot of love.
On 97.1 FM Talk. I was a big Zeppelin fan.
I still am.
Still am, but yeah. They were... I really did get into the Rolling Stones long after Led Zeppelin. Like, it probably took Tattoo You for me to start really getting into the Stones, because I kind of favored Zeppelin. But then I got really into the Stones, too.
I get it.
A little bit behind on that, I
56
think.
Years ago. It's just a pretty big difference in 3 years between the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations and this.
Well... That period in the late 1960s in particular was a very, very defining moment for rock and roll.
And
no doubt about
that's
it.
That's true. And then 13 years ago, I couldn't believe it was this long ago, but it was in 2012 when Lance Armstrong was stripped of all 7 of his Tour de France titles. He was a cheetah.
How about that?
And I still have mixed feelings on this, and I'm just going to tell you why.
Okay.
You have every right to not have. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not taking away your – but I'm just being honest, and I know there's people out there that would have... I had so much damn fun watching Lance Armstrong whip up on the Germans and all these guys. And they were all doping, I'm just telling you. They were all doing it, and the reason the Americans did it, I'm not justifying it, rationalizing it, but they did it because there was no way for them to compete on that field. And I mean, those races were unreal. I watched the Tour de France still. It's freaking boring compared to the way it used to be. But I get it, and he lied. I was fooled by him.
Same here.
I interviewed Floyd Landis, and I expressed empathy for him because I didn't think he was a cheater. He's another guy that won the tour after Lance, and he was.
He was. Here's what. Besides the cheating that I don't like, he threw several people under the bus.
Well, that's true. His
behavior. I mean, and ran over them for saying, "How dare you?" And all they were doing was telling the truth.
Yeah.
And I can't.
You know what?
I can't abide that.
That's a very good point because it wasn't just lying, but the way that he lied and the way that he demonized the people who actually were telling the truth in the end. That's
making them seem really awful.
Fair assessment.
I don't know that I'm allowed to say this either, but it is National Nut Day, and he did do it all with one.
One.
Well, that's
a good point. That is a good point.
I'm going on.
By the way, the great irony of that is that he was probably doping, and there's doping that might have led to that cancer.
Really, yeah.
You know, there is a school of thought. Right.
Totally.
Okay, you know that big internet outage we had on Monday with Amazon, right? Well, here's... It shut down things you didn't actually think about. In fact, it shut down a bunch of smart beds made by a company called 8 Sleep. They run on the cloud hosted by Amazon Web Services. So they have those tilting bed frames, and they completely stopped working. Huh. So if your bed was in the seated position, it froze.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I don't have that brand, but I do have a bed that goes up and down.
Do you like those?
You know, like it, except for when you accidentally hit a button in the middle of the night.
If you leave
the remote. This happened. Annie was completely asleep. I was watching something on the TV, rolled over, accidentally hit the remote. There's a button. It's like a, I don't know, it's like the reading.
Oh, my
The reading
gosh.
Setting. And I'm not kidding you, the whole bed almost folded us completely into the thing.
That would have been
so
entertaining.
So you got to be careful with that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
She woke up wondering, what in the world?
That is hilarious. Well, they said that, oh, gosh.
Yeah, you better go
here.
Just random fact time. Yep.
All right, hang on. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. The Tony Awards are named after Antoinette Perry, a famous actress and director and the co-founder of the American Theater Wing. That is what the Tonys are named for. It's actually Antoinette.
Huh. Hold your thoughts on whatever else you were going to say. We got Alex. We're coming back with more after Fox Business. Hang in there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan, John's going to be out there tomorrow for the birthday bash. We would love to have you there. You do need to RSVP at 971talk.com. There's a link up there. The VIP tickets are sold out. That's our understanding. I haven't checked the secondary market, but you might be able to find a few floating out there. Or I may wander back and forth like a person hawking tickets tomorrow at the party. You never know. I might have to. I'm not.
Is your, is
it's
your
not
sign,
like it's my show tomorrow. It's going to be.
At least
you know,
you're not bitter.
Co-opted by. I know. Right.
Is your sign
like
going to say? Going to say selling tickets or need tickets?
It'll say both. That's what they do.
I never understand it.
Yeah. Well, you know? Because they're here. Can I explain it to you?
Yeah.
They want you to sell you your ticket so they can sell it to somebody else.
Okay.
Does that
they
make a little bit more sense?
You
a little, but I thought there was some law that said you can't stand and sell something.
They've changed all that. Yeah, okay. They've changed all that stuff. But I don't know how they do it. You know, it used to be with the hard tickets, like I'll use Mizzou as an example. It was easy to flip tickets, and if you had an extra, you give it to a scout. No, not give it, but you sell it to a scalper and accept what they give it, and then they flip it. It was a little business model. But with all the digital tickets and everything, they're still out there, but it's got to be really tough. Okay, just quickly before we get to Tony Vitello, who's a name in the news today, I just thought that this was funny, Fred, and I think you'll get a kick out of it because I love Ted, and he became a friend. Ted Melfi is a film director. He did a great movie with Bill Murray called St. Vincent.
I loved that.
It was such a great movie. He played this crabby neighbor, Melissa McCarthy, and her son, and he ended up babysitting Melissa McCarthy's son, and it's just in Ted, and we've shared this story, Ted tells this amazing story of how he connected with Bill Murray and then eventually picks up Bill Murray at LAX. They start heading toward Mexico, and they end up at a golf course in Mexico, and Bill Murray finally agrees to do the film. And it's just I can't even do it justice, right? But every once in a while, he'll still reach out. And like if I'm surfing late at night and I see Hidden Figures, it'll kind of remind me of him. And again, like I said, his story is weird too because his dad was in the mob, and he has Missouri connections, which is why he sort of took to us, Fred, when the movie came out, when St. Vincent came out. That's when we got to know him, and then Hidden Figures kind of put him in a different category. So I just get this email, and the subject matter is pickleball. Dearest friends and family, in a bizarre twist of fate, Kim and I have joined a group opening a pickleball club here in South Florida. The club is called Pompano Pickle, located in Pompano Beach, Florida, home of the famous, albeit unattractive, Pompano Fish. Neither of us have ever played pickleball, and to be clear, we have no intention to. But when strange opportunities knock, run away or not, which is what happened. And anyway, he's soliciting opinions on a logo for the pickleball club, and there's a Google Doc in here. But I
That's
just thought
funny.
That was a very funny way. He's just looking at it for an investment. But I'm waiting to see what he's going to do next with movies. All right, this guy, Tony Vitello. I was unfamiliar with him. He's the Tennessee baseball coach, right? It is not very often, in fact, maybe never, Ethan and Alex, you'll have to tell me, that a collegiate level head coach, manager, if you will, goes to the professional ranks as the manager. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's happened here because he's been named the next manager of the San Francisco Giants. He not only played at Mizzou, but he's a local kid, right?
Local guy. Went to Dismet. His dad coached at Dismet forever. Vitello, you know, soccer, baseball. The Vitello name is big in the coaching world in St. Louis. And, yeah, he is the first manager to go from college to the MLB without ever having another job in professional baseball.
Yeah, it says, here's the New York Times coverage, he has no professional experience as a player, having transitioned directly into coaching after playing at the University of Missouri. He will have to adjust to the brand new challenges of navigating a 162-game MLB schedule, soothing the egos of multimillionaire players, and managing a roster that is not of his own orchestration. But that, I mean, is it a strange, you know, subject, or is it a strange pick? And I find it interesting, and I did not know this, because I always loved him as a player, but Buster Posey is the guy that kind of runs the Giants right now, right? Yeah, hang on, Ethan.
He's the president of baseball operations
right. for the San Francisco Giants. So your question, is it weird? Kind of, because we've never seen it before. But if there's anyone at the college level was going to get a managerial position, it's Tony Vitello. I mean, you look at the resume that he has been able to build at Tennessee. Led them to their first ever national championship in 2024. He's been to 6 NCAA regional appearances. Get this, 19, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. Five super regionals and 3 College World Series appearances. So this is a guy that has... Tennessee has always been a good baseball program, but he has taken them to the top of the college baseball
and might
world.
I also say, college baseball, people don't know this, is one of the hardest college sports to get to the final, like, I mean, I guess you would call it not the national championship even, but like the College World Series as a whole. Like you just said, there's regionals, there's super, like there are so many different rounds that you have to go to, and for him to do it consecutively is incredible. But you also talk about the Tennessee program, how it's changed over the years. Like Tony has been literally signing kids to come to Tennessee like out of like 8th grade.
Is Tennessee where our first draft pick came from this
Liam
year?
Doyle, yes. Yeah. Liam Doyle, the Cardinals' number one pick. In fact, two Tennessee pitchers, the other one being Tanner Franklin. He was our third round pick, I believe. So the Cardinals, you know, added a couple of volunteers. But yeah, this is a program, you said it there, Alex, that has had a lot of success. Vitello has signed and developed 16 first-round MLB draft picks during his time with the Volunteers.
Well, he certainly caught some of the attention, and you know, I'm not against unconventional picks for leadership. And there's no doubt, it's not like he's, you know, third base coach or something. Yeah. Nothing against third base coaches out there, but he has, you know, experience at a managing level, and sometimes you, to use a cliche, have to think out of the box. I mean, to a certain extent, the Cardinals did that with Matheny, right? Yeah.
I like this because you do hear about some coaches going, not necessarily in baseball, but you hear about like basketball coaches, for example, going from the NBA to college, right? And this is the other way around. I think that this is great because he doesn't have to worry about recruiting anymore. He doesn't have to worry about all those things that go on off season. He's focused on just going coaching baseball and doing his thing where, you know, in college, you're out recruiting, you're traveling. Yes, there's more games, but you're probably realistically are on the road a lot less because you're not recruiting as much.
There are not a lot of higher places you can go from where he was in Tennessee, but part of me wonders if, you know, I mean, in a situation like that, you are so comfortable in which this is a risk for him. He has solidified himself in the college baseball world as one of the greats.
Yeah.
And now you are taking the chance
to lose to the Dodgers every single year.
Of having hardcore ridicule for the decision making process that you go through.
You know
through
why
now.
It's worth the risk? Probably about 6 or 7 zeros. That's why it's worth the risk.
I bet he was probably getting paid pretty good at Tennessee.
Not compared.
I agree, but I also agree with Ethan here, where like the NIL, especially like Tennessee baseball, has become the focus of Tennessee sports, and I think that like he could have just continued on with what he had done and become. He's already become a legend there. They'll probably build a statue of him there at some point, right? But now, you got to really prove yourself, or you've got 3 or 4 years and then you're looking for another job.
Well, I think it would probably be worth it for him. But, you know, San Francisco is an interesting franchise to me, and this is kind of tapered off in the aftermath of the pandemic. But if you go back to the era between 2010 and 2020, you're probably better at the stats. It seemed like, you know, they were always in contention, and when they weren't, they were in last place. Mm-hmm. And then they were all of a sudden back in first place and in contention, right?
It was
in
every Bochy other thing. They won in 10, 12, and 14. They knocked the Cardinals out in 2 of those years. I mean, you talk about the Cardinals and the historic team that they, the historic run that they went on from 2011 to 2015. The only reason that the Cardinals didn't have 3 World Championships during that stretch is because of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. And today, I guess, is the day that Albert Pujols interviewed for the Mike Schilt job. In San Diego.
Yeah. So
the Angels said it wasn't going to be
him. I never heard about all this.
The Angels.
I heard a little bit. Can you fill me in?
Yeah. So I think it was just a week ago that Albert Pujols met with Artie Moreno here in St. Louis regarding that Los Angeles Angels managerial opening. And they ended up hiring Kurt Suzuki yesterday after the day before they had just. It had been released that Pujols was not going to have that position. Baltimore and San Diego are two teams that have been rumored to be very interested in Pujols as their manager. Part of me wonders if it's a money thing. Dude has all the money in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. And I want your opinion as a former collegiate baseball player. Well, I love Albert Pujols. The memories that he provided us here in St. Louis,
yes.
I'll never forget the magic, right? But why do we think automatically that he would be a good manager?
I think we don't, and I think that's why the Cardinals have stayed away a little bit. Like, in my opinion, you bring Albert Pujols to coach. Say that you bring him here to coach the Cardinals, to manage the Cardinals. You bring Yadi to manage the Cardinals, whatever. For me, what good comes out of that? Like, there's a lot of good that could come out of it, yes. But there's, to me, more bad that can come out of it, because if he never comes back to the Cardinals and does anything ever again,
the legend is there. Solidified,
but
right.
God forbid you come back, you're a terrible manager, the team does not succeed, then you kind of put yourself in a position where, okay, now you're being judged from another perspective of, like, we don't care if he goes and manages another team and is terrible. We don't care.
Right, right.
But we do care if he comes here and he manages and the team's terrible. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. It feels like that you're definitely running the risk of hurting some legacies. I'm also a big believer of, I don't want my manager being the piece of my team that's in the limelight. And here's the thing. I mean, we all know the legacies that they have in baseball in St. Louis. Every single move that they make, the attention would be on them rather than what is going on with the team. And I would be fearful that it, at least this early, you know, if Albert Pujols were to, you know, in 10 years or Yadi or Molina come and after having some managerial experience, mm-hmm. becomes the manager of the Cardinals, then I think it makes a little bit more sense. It just feels too soon. You're too freshly removed from these guys being superstar players in St. Louis. I think you need to just kind of let that aspect of it cool down. Right now, to me, it just doesn't make sense.
You think
for
he's
going to
get this, or are they just, look, it's Albert Pujols, so they're going to give him an interview, but is he going to get one of these gigs?
I think that how much career earnings does Albert Pujols have? This is the managerial position is the most demanding spot in baseball. These guys did this for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me wonders, man, do they really want to get back into it this quickly? It's going to require a lot of money if that's the case. We'll see how much they're willing to pay these guys. And that's without having any managerial experience.
You bring
experience.
Up a good point in that, because I think playing is totally different than managing. You're
first one in, 20, last one out.
24 hours a day you're thinking about it.
Never
like
stops.
When you're a player, you're just going in there. Yes, you're training and doing all these things, and you're watching film and whatnot, and you're studying analytics, but like, when you're a manager, yeah, you are doing so much more than just worrying about how you're playing yourself.
Exactly.
You know, an interesting note about Pujols, you know, I have a 48-year-old nephew who's Down syndrome, and maybe 2 Fridays ago was the Pujols Foundation
mm-hmm.
prom. Mm-hmm.
That's why he was in St. Louis.
And
so
he was in
great.
Town for that, and he was there talking, posing
so
with my nephew, and looking good, and you know, he's just continues to do good things
mm-hmm. in St. Louis as well, which you have to appreciate. You know, at some point I could see it perhaps making sense. I just don't think right now is the time where it makes sense. Maybe it's also because we've seen, you know, You said it, Mark. How many times have you seen successful former players become really good managers? It doesn't happen that often, and it happens, didn't work in St. Louis.
Where I think it happens is with managers that weren't big stars when they were players, for whatever reason.
Right.
The skill set is different. Hey, you guys remember a couple of months ago when we were talking, I think it's been a couple of months now, since we were talking about the Cracker Barrel kerfuffle and Julie Fiesz Messina, who was the chief executive who was trying to make the logo change, and that didn't last very long. There was an interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago about all this, and they were at this investor summit in New York on Tuesday. And of course, what happened was, just as a refresher, Cracker Barrel replaced the logo featuring the man in overalls leaning against a barrel, and they reversed course in August because they the other new logo just featured the changed name. People got all crazy about it, and they went back because President Trump weighed in, etc. But what she told the people at the conference on Tuesday was what they were trying to do. And you remember this guy, Sardar Biglari. He has Steak and Shake. And remember, I even pointed this out at the time.
Right.
He was very aggressively critical of Cracker Barrel on the official Steak and Shake account. Well, he's a shareholder through his investment funds, and he was pissed about the way that, you know, they were performing. And then when that happens, he decided to kind of go very aggressive after Cracker Barrel. But what they said was they were trying to do something to make the logo a little bit more understandable on a billboard, et cetera. And I guess they felt that was one of the reasons they wanted to do it, which doesn't really make sense. But she had worked at Starbucks and Taco Bell, and she goes into Cracker Barrel, and there's like this 3-year transformation, which included for paying for store remodels and menu upgrades and things like that. They were trying to court younger guests. And that was part of it. And I think we all understood that they were trying to do that. It's just that it did not appeal to the older guests very much. So they went back to the old way.
Did you see they've had some new commercials, new Cracker Barrel commercials?
Like TV?
During the playoffs.
No, yeah. I have not seen
that. Yeah, and they've got pictures of the food and it looks really good still.
Mm. Well, I mean, again, what I said at the time was they probably have had better sales. I'd love to see this, and I'm sure that they're available in the last 2 months than they've had in a long time, because we were all talking about it. And here I am again talking about Cracker Barrel, and that wasn't something. The last time I talked about Cracker Barrel on the radio was probably 20 years ago.
Yeah. And the commercials feature three different people sitting in rocking chairs on the front.
Oh, wow, they're all in. Barrel.
Well,
yeah.
Makes sense. But that's kind of poking fun at themselves a little bit, maybe, right?
I don't know. But like Sue said, they're all in again.
Yeah, they're
maybe
doubling
we should
down.
Do a maybe we should do a show trip to Cracker Barrel.
I have a follow up on a story that we talked about yesterday. Remember the airplane that had the cracked windshield?
Yes,
midair, and it had to, I guess it had to come down and land.
Yeah,
apparently a silicone based company in California admits we lost track of one of our weather balloons.
Yeah, that's what
and
I heard.
We believe it was the weather balloon that could have hit the windshield of the airplane.
That really smacked it.
Yep, I did have my friend Larry, who went through the Greece trip with me. He is a pilot as well, and that's what he said. It was a weather balloon. That's kind of weird, though.
Yeah.
But at least someone fessed up, right?
Right?
Alex, you're going to be there at the birthday party tomorrow, right?
I'm going to be there. I'm going to hang out. So if people are coming, come on down.
Well, we hope we'll have a great turnout. Looks like the weather's going to be great. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
See you then.
All
right. Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.